This is the flagship of Giants baseball. Double play! KNBR and KNBR-FM, San Francisco, the sports leader.
All right, nice to have you back on our pregame here as we get ready for Giants baseball. Tyler Anderson, Mike Minor, as we are joined by Mark Simon. Mark A. Simon says on Twitter, and of course, Sports Info Solutions. Mark, how are you today?
Marty, I'm doing well. Hope you're doing well as well.
Yeah, very good. I want to compliment you. You know, when I grew up, there was someone by the name of Alan Roth, who was this great statistician who would come up with all the little tidbits that people would use. And the things that you have contributed to our show, as well as the broadcast, you are an Alan Roth of 2020. I want to let you know that. Your stuff is really good.
I like that. I know exactly who that is. He's famous particularly in Dodgers circles, and that's very cool. Thank you.
Yep, you've done a great job, and I appreciate it. As we get to the end of the season here, I wanted you to know that. All right, pitching matchup today. We've talked about it a lot. Tyler Anderson, only two innings last time. He got kicked out of the game, a la Roger Clemens. And Mike Minor on the other side, who the Giants lit up earlier. What do you see?
Well, nothing like making a 30-year-old reference. A couple of things with Tyler Anderson.
I hope.
Yeah, it's something like that. One of the problems that Tyler Anderson has had this year is that when he's gotten into trouble, he doesn't have the swing and miss capability. He's faced 56 batters with runners in scoring position and struck out only three of them. That is the worst strikeout rate with runners in scoring position in the majors. I don't know if that's something that can be fixed, but it's me pointing out an issue that he's got that just isn't good. Mike Minor's been up and down this year. The changeup was more dominant last year than it has been this season, and that's the primary reason that his numbers don't look like last year's numbers. He did have a really good fastball his last start, which is odd because he only throws it about 90. But the Mariners, who we saw struggle a bit, kept swinging and missing at it. They swung and missed at it 16 times in his last start, which is a lot, and they went 0 for 11. So I think if he tries to do too much with his fastball today, I would think that the Giants' right-handed hitters would take advantage of that. But just something to note from his last appearance.
Mark, Bill Lasky joining Marty Lurie. I'm going to stick up for my buddy here, Tyler Anderson, and I want to throw a couple things to you here. His first start against Arizona, he threw a complete game three-hitter, give up no earned runs. He had to face the Diamondbacks' his next two identical starts, so he faced them three straight times. And with the kind of stuff he throws, it's difficult to do that. Then he goes against Seattle, and he throws six innings, three hits, no runs. And then he comes right back against Seattle and faces them again. I know it as a pitcher, it's very difficult to do it. But when you look at numbers like you're throwing out there, doesn't that proceed to be a tougher matchup when you go out there with the same team, three starts and then two starts?
Yeah, I would think that that's a fair evaluation. I'm not going to take anything away from that, certainly. It's one of the, I guess, the quirks of the season. The thing is, though, with him is that his history is basically this, what you've seen this season, like a 4.5, 5 ERA. He hasn't shown himself to be anything other than that. And he's 30 now, and I don't know that he's necessarily going to find himself. That said, he certainly is capable of pitching very well, as we've seen a couple of times this year. And this is a day where I think they could really use it after the 6-0 of the last 2 days.
You know, I look at the standings. I love this time of year, and I know you follow the Mets carefully, and the Mets have been in amazing races right down to the end. Things have happened, and it looks like we've got that kind of race this year for this wild card and even for the second spot in the Central and in the East, for that matter. What's the status of these teams? Because I look at the scoreboard, and I haven't looked at the scoreboard today. Maybe you can bring me up to date on the Marlins, but I never know who to root for.
Yeah, well, I'll group the Mets with the Phillies as two teams that I think can't get out of their own way that they're not very good defensive teams. What you saw yesterday with the Giants, with the Darren Ruff mishaps and the Dubon misplay, has been kind of a par for the course for the Mets this year in some respects, and a little bit for the Phillies as well. One of them is probably going to make the playoffs. The Phillies have been more up than down than the Mets have. The Mets are in a little trouble losing today, 1-0 to the Braves. But those two you can kind of lump together. And then you've got the two teams in the Central that haven't hit. The Brewers and the Reds rank among the lowest batting averages in the majors. And they have the common thread of that they've each got multiple starting pitchers that you really like. Corbin Burns and Brandon Woodruff for the Brewers. And then Bauer, Gray, and Castillo for the Reds. The Brewers also have a couple of guys at the back end of the bullpen. Devin Williams has been phenomenal. They could be dangerous in a three-game series. The Reds could be very dangerous, I think, in a three-game series. And then you have the Cardinals, who have essentially the same problem as the Reds and the Brewers. They've had Goldschmidt hitting the whole year and nobody else. It feels like if you go 6-1 this week, and someone probably is going to go 6-1 this week, you're going to make the playoffs. And maybe 5-2 does it. But 6-1, I think, is going to get you. All you have to do is get hot. And each team has one thing about them that can get hot, and it just has to show up at the right time.
Mark, looking at the schedules for all these teams, you got Milwaukee playing after today. Milwaukee plays 3 at Cincinnati. Then they go to St. Louis, and they play 5 against St. Louis. You look at Cincinnati after today, they play Milwaukee for 3. They play the Twins for 3. Looking at Philadelphia, they got 4 against Washington, 3 against Tampa. And you look at the Mets after today, they play Tampa Bay 3 and Washington for 4. What team do you think has the better advantage with all this?
Maybe nobody will get it.
Yeah, like 8 teams is so ridiculous.
I could go on. There's a couple more I missed.
And probably the Giants. I mean, I think the Giants probably have the easiest schedule.
The Giants are in good shape because they're at home and they have the Rockies. But the bad thing is that they have the Padres. So at least you got them at home. You have like I think the Reds are disadvantaged by having to go on the road, certainly. So I would not pick them. I would feel good about the Cardinals because they have the Royals and the Brewers. And I think that they should be they should find their way into the playoffs. The Mets and the Phillies play the same teams. And I think what it's going to come down to is whether Washington cares. Mm-hmm. If Washington doesn't care, Washington's going to go 0-7 this week. If Washington cares, they could probably go 2-5, 3-4, and probably knock one of those two teams out. So I think it comes down to that, and I think the Mets and Phillies will both have a little trouble with Tampa. I don't know who to pick in this. I give the Giants a fair shot. Like if I said the Giants had like a 4 out of 10 shot to make the playoffs, I feel like you would have signed up for that. At the start of the season. Shoot, I picked them for 24 wins this year, and they've won 25. So I'll give them a 4 out of 10 shot to make it, and I guess we'll see where the chips fall.
You know, one of the hardest ones is Miami. They go 4 at Atlanta and 3 against the Yankees, so don't even count them in yet with those 7.
Right, exactly. There's enough there with everybody's schedule that you could make a case, I think, that the Giants at least have a reasonable chance. They have to have Brandon Belt have another week like he had a couple of weeks ago. They need Yastrzemski to be healthy and hit well. They need Crawford to continue to hit. They need someone who hasn't hit, like Joey Bart, to have a good week. And most importantly, they need to pitch because they haven't pitched particularly well this season. They need to find a way to get, 60, 70 innings somehow. And I did want to say this. The thing that I would give Gabe credit for this year, Gabe and the front office, I think they deserve it because this team has overachieved to this point. And the mixes and the matches have just about all worked. They didn't know that Buster was going to sit out. I think that they've put them in a good position for this final week. They just got to figure out a way to A, score a run today, and then B, figure out how to get past the Padres and the Rockies.
Well, I just wrote down your list, and other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how did you like the play? is that all you got? That's all they need to do. Okay.
This is what it's going to be like every year if they keep 8 teams. And baseball, like, I feel like the idea of 16 teams is for the baseball fans that are just being born right now that will be born into it. And they'll be like, oh, this is the way it is. NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, football, every other team makes the playoffs. And there are typically lots of teams fighting for 500 at the end of the season. And that's what these playoff teams are going to wind up being. It's going to be the teams that are fighting, you know, 81-81 to try and make it. And it will keep the interest of people longer. And as much as purists like myself don't like it, I think we're eventually inevitably going to be stuck with it.
All right. We only have about a minute and a half to go, but who's hot and who's not? Maybe your top two?
Yeah, I've got a list in front of me. Let's see. My list in front of me was that, not hot. I guess important going into facing the Padres. Fernando Tatis has been off his game the last 5-6 games. He's been hitting like, I want to say it's like 130, 140. So I would be wary. You would hope that he would continue to struggle for just a little bit longer. Charlie Blackman also cold. Last 6 games hitting 143. Guys who are hot. Yankees, 10 wins in a row entering today, losing today, though. LeMahieu and Frazier have been fantastic. And Cole Calhoun for the Diamondbacks, by the way. 6 home runs in 6 games for a team that's not playing for anything.
All right. Well, he didn't see the Giants. The Giants ate him up. Very, he could do nothing against the Giants. Oh, boy, what a show. Mark, great to have you on. A pleasure. Talk to you next week. And this will be one of those crazy weeks of baseball. You're right. Someone's going to go 6-1 and nail this thing down. So who knows? But that's why we love the game. So have a good afternoon.
Yep, you got it, guys. I hope that next week when we're talking about a one game to try and get in.
Okay. All right. Take care. All right, that is Mark Simon, Mark A. Simon Says on Twitter. Bill, a great show and all that. And we've got more coming up, huh?
Yes, sir. I'm right there with you, buddy.
All right. We're going to go to the booth and talk. Today is Sunday, the Hall of Famer, I take it, John Miller. And we'll be back with that right after this.